We learn in John chapter 7 that Jesus is in Jerusalem, and it is the time of the year when the Jews are celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was the time every year when they commemorated the 40 years of wandering in the desert that the Jews experienced after they left the land of Egypt. And even today, Orthodox Jews, in fact, you can see here, here in Lynchburg at the synagogue over on Langren Road, what they do is even today they will build a booth or they will build a tent out in the yard. They do this even today. And what they are commemorating is they are commemorating the wilderness wanderings of the Israelite people and how God miraculously provided them with water out of a rock and manna right from heaven. And how God supernaturally guided them with a pillar of cloud by day and with a pillar of fire by night that went before them, and they could see the hand of God guiding them. That's the season. That's the time. That's why Jesus was in Jerusalem. And let me tell you one key important event, one historical detail that opens this whole passage up. At the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, in the outer court of the temple, every night they would raise two large candlesticks, huge candlesticks, 20 feet tall, and they would light those candlesticks every night. And the whole temple area would be flooded with light from those candlesticks. That was meant to symbolize the pillar of fire that God revealed to his people to lead and to guide, supernaturally lead and guide his people in the wilderness. And so I want you to picture the scene. Here is Jesus, and it's the Feast of the Tabernacles, and everybody is gathered around. Those two candlesticks, 20 feet tall, are in the outer court where Jesus was, and it's beginning to get dark. And they light the candlesticks, and all of the Jews are thinking about the pillar of fire at night. And Jesus, standing there in the middle of the crowd, he says, "See that? I am the light of the world." And every Jew there knew exactly what he meant. That as God had led his people, as his people had been able to see the hand of God guiding every move that they made, Jesus was making the claim to be the one that we need, not just the Jews, but the whole world needs for life. He had said back in chapter 6, "I am the bread of life," meaning that he is the one who can provide and sustain the life that we need. Now, he points to those candelabras and he says, "I am the light of the world." Here is what he is saying. We know back chapter 1, we looked at this a number of weeks ago. Jesus has already said that he was the light of men, meaning that men without him are in darkness. Now, what happens when you're in darkness? If we were to flip the lights off in here, even though it's sunny outside, it would get pretty dark really quick. And if we flipped the lights off and we all headed out the door, you know what would happen to most of us? Man, we would be stubbing our toes on these pews and we would be banging our knees on the... Have you ever banged your knees on one of the... You know these pews right here, the little arm curve right there? You ever banged? That's about right at knee height. And that's a pretty sensitive area. That hurts. And you know what? That would happen to the majority of us. We would have a hard time getting out of this sanctuary if the lights went, if we didn't have these. Now, thankfully, modern code, we have these exit lights. And so we would be able to see. We would be all right. But it would be difficult in the dark. Life is difficult, if not, life is impossible. There is no life in the dark. You're left to figure it all out on your own and to stumble around and to learn from the school of hard knocks Oh, I can't go that way. Let's try this way. And I fall down the stairs. Oh, I shouldn't have gone that way. Let me try this way. I knock my knee on the pew. Oh, I can't go that way. Well, maybe there's a door over here, and I run into the wall. No door there. You see what happens in the dark? Jesus comes and he says, I'm the light. And what he means by that is that everything that we need comes to us in him. Colossians chapter 3 puts it like this. Colossians chapter 2 puts it like this. That in Christ are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ are hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Do you know that everything you need comes through knowing Christ? Everything you need comes through knowing Christ. Let's just stop there for just a second. Jesus says, I am the light of life. Okay? What is it that we need light for? How do I raise my children? How do I relate to my wife? How am I going to provide for my family? How do I negotiate this circumstance at work? How am I going to know which path to take when it comes down to two different jobs? How am I going to know what's really important within my finances? How do I know what priorities to set with my time? Which one comes first? How am I going to know what to do? Here is the answer. You won't. You won't know what to do unless you have Christ. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, he keeps going. He doesn't stop there. Because he tells us what the results will be, one or the other, with Christ or without Christ. He says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. He who follows Christ. Now, let's just stop right there for just a second. Jesus, up until this point, Jesus has been using the phrase, believe in me. He who believes in me. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you truly believe in Christ and not follow him? The answer to that question is no. Not sincerely. Not really. Because if you do believe in him, then the result of that will be that you follow him. You cannot really believe him without following him. They're two sides of the exact same coin. And so Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, and what's going to distinguish those who have me and those who don't? He who follows me, and he says, the result of following him will be to not walk in darkness. When you follow him, you're going to be able to see, hey, there's stairs right there. Don't tumble down them. Hey, there's a piano right here or an organ right here. Don't run into it. Hey, that's the wall in front of you. The door is over here. Where you need to go is this way. There's a pew right in front of you. Don't knock your knee right there. That we have light. Now he says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. But let me point another detail out to you that is significant. What it does not say, what Jesus does not say, is that the opposite of walking in darkness is to walk in light. That's not what it says. What it says, what he said, what Jesus says, is the opposite of not walking in darkness is to have the light. He is not saying that if you follow me, that if you just believe in me, then all of your life, everything, you'll be able to see everything and you'll know exactly what to do, and Jesus is just going to say, here you go, and he's just going to turn the lights on and everything's going to be set for you. That's not what he says. Jesus says, listen, I am the light of the world. If you will follow me, then the light will go with you wherever you go. Jesus is the light. You may not be able to see two steps in front of you, but Jesus does. And he will be able to guide you. And that's what we need. We don't need to understand everything in front of us. We need him to be with us and to guide our steps. And that's what he's offering as the light of the world. How are you going to know what to do? How can you do it without Christ? The answer is, you won't know. You won't be able. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He is offering himself as the one thing that we need more than anything else. We need Jesus. Regardless of what the circumstances are, the answer, I need Jesus. I need him to be with me. Now let me tell you what happens in verses 13 down through verse 30. Very quickly, because I want to get to some things that Jesus says. But what you're seeing in verses 13 down through verse 20, you're going to watch, if you were to go back this week and read it, you're going to watch the Pharisees question Jesus' legitimacy. And they're going to say, hey, Jesus, if you're the only one that's saying this is who you is, then man, your testimony's no good. Jesus says, oh, but I'm not the only one who's saying who I am. I'm saying who I am, and the Father is saying who I am. They should have been able to go back in the Old Testament and see that Jesus is saying the same thing about himself that the Old Testament said about him, that he and the Father and John the Baptist, and that they all are speaking a testimony about who Jesus is. They should not have missed that, but they did. You get to verses 21 through 30, and Jesus is going to outline for them the result of their unbelief. They did miss that, and so the result, in fact, very quickly, look at verse 24. We need to understand this. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We need to understand that the result of not believing Christ, the result of not following Christ, is yes, that we will continue to walk in darkness. But do you know what that means, to continue to walk in darkness? It means that you will die in your sins, that you will be lost forever, because we serve a holy God who hates sin. And to die in sin without Christ is to be lost forever. And so Jesus looks at the Pharisees and he says, I'm telling you who I am. And I'm not the only one. You have everything that you need to see. I am who I say I am. I'm the light of the world, and you need me. And if you do not believe me, then you will be lost forever. You will die in your sins. The result could not be worse. And listen, maybe it is that you are here this morning, and I just need to say this. Maybe it is that you are here this morning, and maybe it is that you would even claim to believe that Jesus is who he is, but you are not following him. And though you claim to believe him, you are still trying to make your own way, and you are still stumbling around in the dark, and you are still saying, no, Jesus, I think this is the better way, and you're going to walk right into that wall. Jesus is saying, you need to go this way, and you're saying, no, I want to do this, and you're not following him. The reason that you're not following him is because you don't believe. You really can't believe sincerely and not follow. And the result of not believing is to die in your sins. Listen. Listen to what he is saying. Not to me, but look at this passage. There is every reason to look to Christ and to say, he is the one I need. Flip over to verse 31. Jesus was saying to the Jews, and it wasn't just to all the Jews. I want you to notice that this is a specific group of Jews. These were the Jews who had believed in him. Now, this is interesting. Because who Jesus is talking to now is a group of Jews that have said, oh yes, I believe in you, Jesus. Look at what he says. He says, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? To be a disciple of Christ does not mean that I have made a profession of faith and now I can do whatever I want to do. That is not what that means. To be a disciple of Christ goes far beyond just believing. The defining characteristic of a disciple of Christ is not just a beginning, but continuing. Warren Wiersbe put it like this. Many of us use, a lot of our Sunday school teachers, and I use Warren Wiersbe a lot. He put it like this. He says that true disciples are shown not by profession of faith, but by progression in faith. Do you guys see the difference? Somebody else, another pastor, said, looking at this verse, he said that the evidence of a true disciple is not just a beginning of belief, but continuing in following Christ. So we got to stop right here. And we just have to say, you know, okay, wait a minute. I'm in the crowd that says I believe. I'm here in verse 31, and I'm in the crowd that says, I believe. But I got to listen to Jesus, and I got to look at my own life, and I hear Jesus saying, if you continue in my word. What does that mean? That Jesus' word is valuable to us, and Jesus' word guides our life. And Jesus' word is what I make decisions from. And Jesus' word is what I have come to love. And Jesus' word is what I want more of. That song that the choir just sang. More about Jesus, let me learn. More of His holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. Is that our heart? That, oh man, God, what I want more than anything else is I want you to teach me. I want to do what you would have me to do. I want your word to guide my steps. Or is it possible to say we believe and then to go through life largely neglecting God's word and doing what makes best sense to us? Jesus is saying, listen, listen, you who say you believe, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And watch what happens here. Verse 32 gives us the result that continuing in his word, more about Jesus would I learn, more of his holy will discern, Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. What will happen is that you will learn. That we will gain the truth. That we will know what is true. By the way, you know, truth, you don't figure truth out. We don't sit in our chair and just reason what is true. We can't do it. We are not infinite beings. We are finite beings. There is no way in this world for us to know all the things that come into play in any given particular situation. Truth has to be gained. It has to be acquired. And how do we do that? We are taught. We're taught truth. Truth comes from God. We don't figure it out. We learn truth. God has given us truth. And so as we follow His word, as we, like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, just hanging on every word, we are given truth. And truth is not just knowledge. Truth has an effect on our life. Look at what he says. He says, you will know the truth, and what will happen? The truth will set you free. The truth will set us free. The truth, following Jesus, following his word, being taught truth, changes the way that we live. Now watch what happens. Jesus says the truth will set you free, but watch this. The Pharisees, they come back in verse 33, and they say, what are you talking about? We're not slaves. We're already free. Jesus says, oh no. No, that's not true. Verse 34. Everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Listen, this is an incredibly important principle that Jesus is teaching us here. Because I will tell you that there is a great temptation to think like the Pharisees here. I'm okay. This is what we say. We say, you know, I'm okay. I know what I need to do. I can figure this thing out. I know what is right and what is wrong. I'm good. I'm okay. And we feel like that, and we think that, but it's just not true. That, you know what? Here is the fact. The fact is that though we know what is right to do, we won't do it. Not on our own. Though we know, hey, you know what? This is probably not what I should be doing, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why? Because Jesus says, and in fact it's all throughout Scripture, that we are slaves. Naturally, we're slaves of sin. That we are ruled, naturally speaking, we are controlled by our sin nature. By nature, we are sinners. And we will sin just because that's who we're born to be. We will. We're slaves. We might think, it might feel like, we might look like we're free, but we're not. We're slaves of sin. And if you are a slave, what has to happen? You have to be set free. Let me give you an illustration that we don't think this way very often. But while we're here, let me give you an illustration about slavery and freedom. And the reason I'm using this illustration is because I want us to think about what this looks like in our life, to be a slave of sin. Many of us we have dogs. Some of us, you got a little Chihuahua dog, and the little Chihuahua, you know, they probably bark the most, but they don't bark as loud, right, Chihuahuas? But you got a Siberian Husky, and that thing stands about that tall, you know, his head stands about that tall. And Siberian Huskies, they don't bark as much as a Chihuahua, but they bark loud, right? Why? Because they're dogs. A Chihuahua is a dog, and a Siberian Husky is a dog, and they bark. That's what dogs do. And that dog, you know what? He is free to bark as much as that dog wants to bark, right? But that dog, because he is a dog, he cannot roar like a lion. He's not free to do that. He can bark as much as he wants because that's his nature to do that. He is a slave to his bark. Cannot roar like a lion. Doesn't matter how hard he tries, it ain't going to happen. He's not a lion. He has to roar like a lion. Do you know what has to happen in order for a dog to roar like a lion? Something supernatural has to happen in order for that dog to roar like a lion. He has to be set free from the slavery to his nature as a dog, and he has to be given a new life. Jesus looks at these Pharisees who say to him, hey, we're not slaves. And Jesus says, oh, yes, you are. You are a slave to sin. That's all you can do. No matter how hard you try, you're a slave to it. And something supernatural has to happen to call you alive from the dead. You have to be given, Nicodemus, a new life. You have to be given, woman at the well, a spring of living water inside of you that you don't have right now. You have to be, as the Son says in chapter 6, the Son calls men, dead men, to life. Jesus. And he says, you were a slave. But verse 36, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Now, I want to stop, and we're gonna close right here. But I want you to think about what Jesus is describing. He is describing himself. He is the light of the world. What is life without him? There is no life without him. It is darkness. It's stumbling around trying to make our own way, and we can't. We can't make our own way. We need light. And Jesus is the light. In him are the treasures, are all the treasures of riches, of knowledge and wisdom. That everything we need can only be found in him. And not just believing in him, not just saying, oh, I believe Jesus. No, continuing in his word. That as we seek his word, as some passages describe it, as we feed on his word, then he teaches us. And we know the truth. And what happens? The truth sets us free. Free from what? Free from our slavery to sin. He gives us, we were slaves, and he makes us alive. He makes us free. Free to do what? Free to follow him. Are we ever going to be sinless? No, not this side of heaven. But we can sin less. Why? Because now he gives us life and we can follow him and be taught by him and be disciples. Verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me. Why? Because my word has no place in you. Now, here's what's happening. Jesus, from verse 12 all the way down, Jesus has been describing and teaching these big principles. Light of the world, walk in darkness, follow me, continue in my word. I mean, these huge principles. But watch what happens in verse 37. In verse 37, Jesus now turns from teaching us these huge principles and he puts his finger right on the sternum of these Pharisees. And he says to them, the reason that you want to get rid of me, the reason that you don't want me around is because you have a heart problem. My word is not in your heart. See, they wanted to kill him. Let me tell you what that looks like in 2017. He's not here physically to kill, but what we say is, I'm okay today, Jesus. I got it. If I run up on something that I don't need you, that I'm okay with on my own, then I'll pray if I run up on something I can't take myself. But for the most part, I'm good, Jesus. You stay in church on Sunday morning. I'll pick up my Bible if I run across something that I don't understand. You're okay. You stay over there. And what we're saying to Jesus, you know what? I don't really need you. I don't really want you around. I don't really need you around. Why? Jesus is putting his finger right on the disciples, right on their sternum, and he's saying, the reason you don't want me around is because my word is not in you. And you need it to be. And we've got to look at that, and we've got to stop, and we've got to say, wait a minute. How badly do I need Jesus? How badly do I know that I need Jesus? Am I continuing in his word, or
Man.
Is the reason that I neglect him because his word has no place in me? Look at verse 38. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father, therefore you also do the things which you have heard from your Father. Here's what Jesus is saying. Behavior is an indicator of who your Father is. Boy, this is bad. What you do indicates who you follow. Jesus is saying, hey guys, I'm the light of the world. You need me. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. But if you don't want me around, it's because my word is not in you. And the way that you live will indicate who your Father is. We got to stop. And we have to look at our own hearts. And we have to say, what is my desire? Where is my heart? What is in my heart? Can I really say that my relationship with Christ is such that, man, he is the light of my life. And without him, I could not go 1 hour. I could not go 1 day without him guiding me, because I knew if I did, I would blow this thing up quick. And so I seek him daily. And man, the best thing I can do for everything that I need is to continue in his word, because, oh, I know I need to be set free. And maybe it is here this morning. It's not an issue of continuing for you. It's an issue of beginning. And there has never been a time in your life where you have begun by just placing your trust in Jesus as your Savior. And that needs to be your beginning. But maybe it is that maybe you have, but maybe you say, well, I do believe that Jesus, I've put my trust in Jesus as my Savior. But when you look at your life, you realize there has been no continuing. There's been no continuing in his word, that you have largely neglected him. And you can see in your life what Jesus is talking about. That you've not been following him, that your life is indicating who you're following. And you need to say, oh man, right now, what I need to do is I need to repent of what I have been involved in. Whatever that is, it is not following Christ and not continuing in his word. That may be something, a big bad sin that only you know about, but it might be only just in terms of just selfishness and pride. And I need to repent of that. And I need to say to Christ, Oh Lord, I need you as the light of my life. I need your word to guide every step that I take. I need more of Jesus. I need it. Father God, I praise you for sending your Son to be our light of life. And I pray that you would even now, God, in our hearts, I pray that you would show us how desperately dependent and needy we are for your Son. And God, I pray that we would be humble enough to recognize how badly we need him. I pray that you would do the work that needs to be done in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and sing, and this is just a time of response to our opportunity here before we walk out those doors, before we go home, before we walk back out into the world with all of the situations that we